everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. It's all about setting and accomplishing your biggest goals in life. My guest today is Greg Clunas. He is an entrepreneur, podcast host, and author of the book, Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, Everyday Changes to Accomplish More, Crush Your Goals, and Create the Life You Want. 5 years ago, Greg started a podcast in his one-bedroom New York City apartment called Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, with a simple mission: to redefine personal development. Since then, it's grown to nearly 15 million downloads across more than 100 countries. Greg's core philosophy is that all big changes come from the tiny leaps you take every day. Now, for more information about Greg or his podcast, go to tinyleaps.fm. So welcome to the program, Greg. Great to have you with us today.
Yeah, listen, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. This is so cool to be here on the show, and I just can't thank you enough for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we appreciate you as well, and I can't wait to hear more about your podcast and your philosophy. But before we do that, Greg, tell us a little bit more about you, your background, and really what motivated you to start that podcast 5 years ago in your New York City apartment.
Yeah, so Tiny Leaps, Big Changes kind of came as a response to, quite honestly, just being very angry with the personal development industry. I've been involved in reading books, like all of the stuff with personal development, since I was 13. For context, I'm 28 now. And it's just been a massive part of my life growing up and who I am. But somewhere along the line, back in 2015, I started to realize this is sort of becoming something that is very easy to quote, and it's very easy to sort of say things that sound really nice, and people sort of immediately have the reaction of, oh yeah, of course you're right, I should just work harder. But no one was taking the time to dive into, well, how does that apply to an individual? How is that actually applicable to somebody's life on a day-to-day basis? And I just felt that there was a lane for something that tackled this practical side of personal development. What can we actually do on a day-to-day basis to create change over long periods of time? And so I created that show because I felt that it was missing. I felt that what was there wasn't quite serving people in the way that it needed to. And I sat down, I had the idea for it December 21st, 2015. By January 1st, I put it out into the world, and things have just sort of been kind of insane ever since.
Wow, that's fun. I like that you did it so quickly. And if I understand you, Greg, the personal development literature was saying, if you want to reach a goal, just work harder or find your passion, and that's all you need. And you didn't think that was the right philosophy. Is that correct?
Exactly. I felt that a lot of the messaging out there, especially at that time, was focused around find your passion and everything else will fall in line, right? It'll be easy to show up, life will be amazing, and unicorns and rainbows will sprout through the sky. And as we know, that's not the case. Once you find your passion, it's still difficult to get up every day and keep going. And sometimes there is no passion. Sometimes you just aren't passionate about something, even though you were the day before. So there's so much more that goes into this that I thought wasn't being accurately represented. And my big fear, if I'm being perfectly honest, was that someone was going to pick up a book that they found on Amazon or listen to a podcast that they randomly found, and it was going to present this model of personal development where, hey, if you just find your passion, you should be fine. Just quit your job and go all in. And they were going to make that decision because they didn't have any of the context, because they weren't being told the background that so many people out there who do follow their passion, they have a lot of privileges that allow them to do that, because passion is something you have to earn. The ability to follow your passion and pursue the things you love is something you earn. So without that context, they were going to follow that path and end up in a place much worse than where they started. And I really wanted to do something about that.
And so what do you tell people then, Greg? You should wake up and do what every day? And I know you say that your core philosophy is all big changes come from tiny leaps you take every day. How are those connected, or how, what is that philosophy? Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it really comes down to the individual behaviors you engage in as they relate to your goal. So let's say that you have a goal to find somebody you love, or to start a business, or lose weight, or save money, whatever it is, right? There are a list of actions that you can, in theory, take that would lead to that outcome. Now, most of us, when we set that goal, we maybe create a plan and we start focusing on things we can do here and there. But then we eventually fall off because life gets in the way, because we had to work late that night, and so we're not able to get to the gym, or because our kid is sick and we're not able to focus on our meal prep that night. And that's going to happen. So what I try to remind people of is just setting goals and then expecting yourself to show up every day and being frustrated with yourself when you don't, that's not good enough. Ultimately, what we need to do is look at our lives and the context that we have around that life, the existing constraints that are there. And I always say constraints aren't necessarily a bad thing. Having kids is a constraint. It makes it harder to do certain things. That's not bad, though. It's just a reality. It's something we have to accept. So instead of setting goals and then trying to figure out where in our lives we can place them, we need to start looking at our life, getting an accurate understanding of what that life is and what those constraints are, and then set goals that are within reach based on that context. And then from there, it's those tiny behaviors that we engage in every day that ultimately drive the end result. And so the idea behind Tiny Leaps, Big Changes is very straightforward. Focus on what you can do, no matter how small that might be, no matter how useless it might feel. Do what you can, and over time, that will create change. Now, that timeline might be very long. Like, it might take you 20 years to achieve that goal, but that has to be okay, because change doesn't happen overnight.
It sounds a lot like what I do in date and relationship coaching, Greg, where individuals or clients will come and they want to find a right partner, or the right partner, or they want to find love, or they want to find a happy, healthy relationship, and that we together, coach and client, set these realistic small goals, looking at the context of their life, where they live, what they do, and what they can't do. Is that similar then?
Exactly the same. And I've found throughout the past nearly 5 years I've hosted this show, I try to cover six main areas. So you've got your fitness, your nutrition, your finances, your career, your relationships, and your emotional/mental health. These are what I call sort of the six core areas of our lives that we can affect change in. What I've found after creating 570 plus episodes, researching as much as I can, talking to listeners, is that the same principles apply in virtually every area. Like, so much of coaching and creating goals can be applied to every other area of our life. And not only that, when we start to create changes in one area, it can often have ripple effects in others. So for example, going back to that dating example that you gave, when you start to, and no one makes this connection, but when you start to work on yourself and maybe work on your fitness, maybe work on your finances, whatever area is important to you, when you start to do that, that creates a level of confidence and a level of engagement in your own day-to-day life that can trickle over into your relationship, into finding somebody, into your existing relationship, whatever that might be. So when we look at our lives and we're trying to create change, I think a lot of people get frustrated because our lives are so complex and humans are so complicated. But truthfully, if we can just pick one area to focus on, that's ultimately going to drive change everywhere else.
Absolutely. I totally agree as a psychologist that if we can create change in one area of our life, it makes us more confident. It opens up opportunities. It gets us out of our house, right? And then we see the ripple effect in all areas of our life. So let's start at the beginning, Greg, and talk about the goals. I mean, you talk about setting small goals. What kinds of goals do you argue we should focus on, or how we start even to set those small goals?
Yeah. So there is, and I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of this framework called SMART, S-M-A-R-T. Now it stands for specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, and timed. And it's just a framework for developing better goals. Now it's helpful, but there's one major problem with it. And it really goes back to how the SMART framework was developed. It was created by management consultants for companies, where specific outcomes hitting specific key performance indicators, that matters. But for most people's lives, having specific goals and specific timelines isn't typically actually that important, because so much of what we're trying to do when we're trying to create change is shift long-term behavior. We want to have lifestyle changes that allow us to improve our relationship to food, improve our relationship to money, improve whatever it is, over a long period of time by shifting behavior over a long period of time. So in those scenarios, setting a specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, timed goal, that's not that helpful, because what happens afterwards? If you have a specific goal of losing 20 pounds and you need to do it by this date, that's going to incentivize you to create drastic changes that are unsustainable, rather than setting a long-term goal that you can work on for the rest of your life. So what I've done is I've actually developed a separate framework. Now, this isn't necessarily, oh, don't use SMART goals, use this instead. It's more so if that hasn't been working for you, try this. And I call it the LEAP framework, which stands for long-term lifestyle changes, empathetic, which I'll get into in a second, actionable, and process-focused. So the long-term lifestyle changes, of course, is your goal should be focused around a change you want to create for the rest of your life. It's not about losing 20 pounds to fit into your wedding dress. It's I want to have a better relationship with food for the rest of my life. The second piece is empathetic. Now, this to me is one of the most important pieces of our goal setting. And this is what I was hinting at earlier when I said that we need to look at our lives and set goals within that context. So many of us look at what we want to accomplish and we set those goals and then try to shove it into our lives with no consideration for the many roadblocks we're going to face, the many constraints that'll hold us back. And what this does is it actually sets us up for failure. Because when those things happen, there's no consideration for it. There's no plan for it. So what we need to look at is, and I talk about this in my book, do a life audit. And what I mean by that is sit down and figure out what your life currently looks like in relationship to that goal. What are those constraints that are going to hold you back? What are the things that you need to be planning for and considering? And then set your goal. And just by shifting the order, you give yourself the context that you're able to then set a goal that is actually within reach for you. And then from there, within that same E, the empathetic piece, is giving yourself the room to quote unquote fail. And I personally don't like the word failure, but I know that a lot of people sort of default to that. So give yourself the space to fail, because failure is a requirement for success. You have to be willing to go through that if you want to get to that end result, whatever that might be for you. Then we have the actionable piece, which is, of course, focusing on what are the actions, what are the key behaviors that can lead to success in this goal, whatever that goal might be. And then finally, process focused, which to me, this has helped me the most. I recently picked up running as a new part of my life that I've always hated running up until a few months ago. And what allowed me to stick with it during those moments when I didn't want to, during the moments when I really, really despised it, was shifting the metric of success. So rather than I'm going to go out and run 2 miles and I'm going to do it at this time, and that being, hey, okay, I'm successful. If I hit it, I fail. If I don't, success meant, did I run or not? Didn't matter if I ran down the block. Didn't matter if I jogged around the street. All it mattered was, did I get out for a run? Because when we look at long-term lifestyle changes over the next 50 years of my life, it's not going to matter if I only ran for a short period of time today versus a long period of time tomorrow. That's not going to matter over the next 50 years. What's going to matter is, did I keep the habit going? Did I allow myself to get out there and find something that I enjoy about it? And by giving myself that grace and that space to not show up in the most amazing way possible, it allowed me to then keep going for a longer period of time.
I like that it's a whole framework, Greg, and I'll just repeat it for listeners. That LEAP framework of goal setting is first, long-term life changes, second, empathy, third, actions or actionable steps, and then fourth, talking about process or changing the definition of success. Now, I have to ask you, because, you know, as a psychologist, we're always oriented toward changing behaviors. But we know, Greg, that if we don't change our beliefs and our ideas, our attitudes before we change the behaviors as well, then we can't also produce long-term change in behaviors. Yes. So how then do we look at those attitudes, those beliefs behind us, behind the behaviors?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Right before we jumped on this conversation, I was planning a future episode of the podcast, and it talked about this exactly, because you're so right. So many of these frameworks in personal development, they really only help once you've gotten over a certain obstacle. And that obstacle is always going to come down to, what are the things that you believe? How do you view yourself? How do you identify? Like, it's the psychological work. And so one of the things that I found, and this is for myself, I'd actually love your feedback on this, is that identity plays a massive role in change. And when I say that, I mean, how do you identify for yourself? For example, if you identify as a runner, you're the type of person who goes out for a run. If you then are injured for some reason and have to take a break for a while, as soon as you're able to, you're going to go back out for a run, versus someone who is just starting. They don't have that identity yet. They don't identify that way. If they get injured, they're going to have to work twice as hard to get themselves back out once they're healed, because it's not a natural part of their behavior. And what I found is that behavior itself can drive that shift in identity, where I used to hate running. I wasn't the type of person who went out for a run just here and there. By continuing to do it for a long period of time, I started to develop that identity. Now I crave a run. Now, by the end of my day, if I don't have a run that day, I kind of feel a little bit bummed out, because I want to go for it. I want to have that that shift at the end of the day to transition away from work stuff, get stuff out of my head, have that moment to myself. And by starting to take those actions, no matter how small they are, you start to develop a little bit of that behavior. The longer you're able to do it for, the more of that identity you're able to develop. And so what I've done with the whole concept behind Tiny Leaps with LEAP goals is focus on trying to make those initial behavior changes as easy and as small as possible. And this is why I try to remind people, doing things that feel like they're not going to matter, because they're so tiny, they seem like this isn't going to shift anything, so why should I do it? That's ultimately what allows you to take the first step. Because it's not about this individual behavior on this individual day causing that identity shift. It's about starting so that you're able to keep doing it, making it as small as possible, so you're able to keep showing up over a long period of time, which then leads to a shift in identity. So again, I would love your feedback on this, because you are an expert in behavior, whereas I'm really just trying to find tools that work for me and share that with people. So please, if I've gotten anything wrong, let me know. But that's what I found worked for me.
I love the idea about tiny behaviors. And I do agree, and there's so much psychology behind what you're saying, Greg, which is great, that, you know, starting out with tiny, small behaviors creates big change, and to look at it that way. But there are times, I think, where behaviors can't change the identity because the identity is so ingrained in the notion of the self. And so if you saw yourself, for example, as a couch potato, right? And that was your identity, even when you do small little runs for a block or two blocks, it might take a long time, as you're suggesting, or it might take many times for you to slowly change your identity.
Yeah.
So that your attitude toward your beliefs about yourself, like you said, so important. I loved that. And your attitudes about running may really help or not help, hinder the goal setting process in and of itself. And it probably depends on the behavior too.
Right. And one thing I always try to remind people is that not only is it going to take a long time in certain cases, it's also going to take a lot of starting and stopping. That process of setting a goal and quote unquote failing at it and then starting over at some point, like that's always like that, that is required. You have to go through that and choose to keep showing back up and choose to keep starting over in order for you to get that length of time in. Because you're right, it can sometimes take, if you have a very ingrained idea of yourself, the only way to shift that is to work with people like you and tackle some of those core issues, talk through it, journal, all of those mental health tools that I think are so valuable. But the other way to really help, and I think these things can be combined, is to keep showing up for a long enough period of time to start to overwrite that identity that you have of yourself.
Yes. And that's so important. I love this discussion and what you're saying, Greg, because you do need to show up and you can override that initial habit, that initial behavior, that initial identity. I love it. And I love this discussion. Now, we only have a few minutes left. Greg, I had so many other questions about accountability, about definition of success, but let me turn it to you because we only have a few minutes left. If there's one message that you really want listeners to take away from the program, what might it be, Greg?
So it's something that I say at the end of every single one of my podcast episodes. I've been doing that for 4.5, nearly 5 years now. It's very straightforward. All big changes come from the tiny leaps you take every day. And the reason I say that is because while everything, all the individual topics that we've discussed here or that I talk about on my podcast, they are there as tools. They're there to help you while you're navigating those changes. But truthfully, what it ultimately comes down to is what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? That's what drives where you end up. And of course, there are other factors, there are things outside of your control. But the things we control are our behaviors and our responses. And so if we can start to identify with this idea that the tiny leaps we take every day, those tiny choices we make every day, ultimately are what will drive a certain percentage of the results we get over long periods of time, I think that the tools become significantly more valuable, but it has to start with that belief.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. And also, I think that's very motivating. As you have said in many of the examples that you're bringing up, it doesn't take the big leap. It takes the tiny leap. And start with the tiny, start with the small, and start showing up every day. I mean, to me, that is a very empowering message, Greg, as well. So thank you so much for joining us. It's wonderful to talk with you and to have you share some of this information and advice.
Thank you so much for having me. And just to very quickly drive this home, when I first started running, I could barely run a mile without feeling like I was going to die. And this weekend, I'm running my first 10K ever after only a few months of sticking with it.
After only a few months too, is that right?
Just a few months of going consistently, having a plan, and showing up for myself and allowing myself to not show up sometimes. So this can really work and change can happen really quickly. You just have to be willing to take those first tiny steps and let that be okay. So thank you so much for having me. And for those of you listening, thank you for sharing your time with me. I really appreciate it.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about Greg Clunas, his podcast, or his book, go to tinyleaps.fm. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, the Love Doctor. .com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.